I guess it's yesterday. I know today's Easter, and that we're here to celebrate, if you have it, however you want to say it, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Lord started bringing some things to my heart yesterday, and as we got to studying on them and got to thinking on them, I just really felt led, this is the way the Lord would have us to go with the service this morning, but over in the book of Luke, chapter 7, we find right here in this particular scripture where the Lord was on his way through here, and there's a certain centurion soldier had sent out for him, and he had a servant that he had beckoned him about that was sick, and as he was on his journey to that, and that's not particularly where our heart was at in that particular subject there, but as he was on his way there, he healed that man, and his servants came, gave word that man was healed, and then it come down to one spot right here where I was wanting to touch in that seventh chapter, and I may just start right there in the 11th verse and read down for a little ways, and just bear with us. If you know me, I don't get up here with this road out. I get up here and try my best to mind the Lord with the things that He'd lay upon her heart. And without Him, I won't preach. And without Him, you won't hear nothing that's worth hearing. But I just pray, just listening and pray that the Lord would give us that's needful this morning. It says there in that 11th verse, it says, "And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother." And that scripture was upon my heart for this morning's service. I got to thinking just a little bit about that, and how that Jesus was on his way through there, Mike, and as he come upon this, they were carrying this dead man out of there, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And I thought about this just to kind of lead you in the way the Lord was working with me on this, Isaac. I thought about how that so many times as a preacher, as a pastor, as a friend, how many times I've walked the walk behind someone that has passed that I dearly loved. And how many times that I have been in that grieving moment, David. I've walked that walk with you and your family and Gina and her family. Many families in here, John, that I have been at them moments with you, Connie, when we seen somebody we loved so dear and we had to walk that walk and see that person being delivered to the grave. And if you get to studying on this and you get to reading about that word, fire, if I'm saying it right, that word, a lot of times we interpret that as being a coffin. But if you really get to searching out what that is, Daniel, that's some kind of a carriage or some type of a thing that's made to deliver that body to the grave. And a lot of times, like what we see them put a casket on and roll it up through the middle of the church, that's called a bier. If I'm not saying it right, don't get offended at me. You know what I'm talking about. But I got to thinking about that thing. And patience, as the Lord come upon this dead man, and as he was there, and everybody around him, no doubt grieving, he took a moment. He found compassion, Natalie, upon that mother. That mother caught his attention. That mother, there was something in her grieving, brother. There was something in what she was going through, Robin, that caught the attention of the Lord as he came by there. I got to thinking about the church today. I got to thinking about the people of God and how that we get just like Trevor was this morning up here on an altar crying out on behalf of our people. And there's a grieving going on. We see that loved one on their way to a grave, on their way to hell, on their way to a place we know they can't come back from if they ever go there. When we follow those caskets, we realize that's the last moment that we'll ever be in contact even with that earthly body. We realize we're getting ready to lay that thing down somewhere. And I thought the grief that was upon that mother's heart as she followed that casket. She had no husband. She had no one else. Her main focus was her child. And a true mother, that's the way it'll be. A true mother, that only focus is right there. I've watched my daughter become a mother with my grandson right there. And I've watched her focus every day of her life. Isaac is surrounded upon the taking care of that child right there. And it's nurturing and everything like that. He gets a little sniffle, she worries, she's got a cold. The least little old thing, she's worrying constantly about that child. That's the way of a mother. I'm going to get around where the Lord's got me in this. And this mother had this concern that she watched her child die and being delivered to a grave. I'm going to tell you what, that young right there, Isaac, he's going to get to an age one of these days when he knows right and wrong. He's going to get to an age, Matt, when he realizes what sin is. And he's gonna realize right now he's under the hand of God. They ain't a doubt in my mind. If something happened and that child left here right now, so man, I know where he lifted his eyes at. I know that young man. Every one of them are jerking out of a mother's womb up down up here. I know where they lift their eyes at. I know where them young ones is. That's a pure, undefiled heart of God right there, if I ever see one in my flesh. But I'm going to tell you, there's coming a day when they're going to realize what sin is, and they're going to make a choice in their life. And we're going to watch them being led down a place to where we know they can't come back from. But just like that mother, she was walking a walk that she didn't want to have to walk. Just like the church does today when we bear up the souls of our lost people. We see them going on a path that we know they can't come back from. That mother went to cry out, and Jesus had compassion on her. You know what he done? He walked over and he touched that bier. That very thing that was carrying that child to the grave. That very thing that was leading that child of hers to that endless place where she'd never know it again. I hope you'll see this morning. Our lost people, because they're headed to a place where we'll never see them again if we're born again child of God. You mentioned David this morning, Mark. That child that died of his, he said, I can't bring him back, but he said, I can go to be where he is. He knew where that child went. He knew they was going to meet up again one day.
Hey, but I'm going to tell you what, there's some today that's leaving this world lost.
And they're going to a place where we ain't never going to see them again if they don't ever get saved.
Well, that day there, Jesus Christ reached out and he touched the very thing that was leading that child to the grave.
And you know what it said? The men that was bearing that child did, they had to stop. They had to stop right there, Jennifer. My heart got stirred up and I got thinking about that. Got to thinking about what we're celebrating today. This Easter Sunday. This resurrection morning that we all, no doubt, I guarantee you, we've all read about it this week. And just stirred it back up in our lives. About early in the morning, how them women went out to anoint his body, hey, with spices. And as they went out, they saw this tomb wide open, and there was nobody in there. And they went to wondering, that very one that was buried there, where's he at today? I'm going to get ahead of myself. I'm going to get ahead of God.
Jesus Christ looked down through time, Isaac. And the church got his attention. The born again children of God has got his attention early. And that flame that was carrying us right to that never ending place called hell. You can go over and read in the Word of God. Over if you want to go over and read it in Romans in the 8th chapter. If you want to read that, bear with me just a little bit. I told you I ain't in no hurry this morning. In Romans in the 8th chapter, 3rd verse, it says, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." That very thing that was carrying mankind to hell. Sin, if you'll have it. Sin was what was carrying us to hell, John. Sin was what was leading us down that path that we was never going to come back from. Down that path to a never-ending place of torments, a place that man would, the thirst of man would never be quenched. Not even the rich man could get one drop of water in that place. God, seeing that man was headed down that path, you know what He sent His Son down here to do? Take on the likeness of that very thing. You know what He does at that moment, Colin Freeman? He reached out and He touched the fire. He reached out and touched the very thing, early Paul, that was leading us down the path, that was going to take us to a devil's hell. Jesus Christ Himself, Julian Andrews, reached out and touched it. You know what touching means? It means to reach out to something. It means to encounter that thing. You know what Jesus Christ does? He that knew no sin, became sin for me and you. He reached out and got in contact with the very thing sending us to hell. You know what He is? He's love. You know what He is? He's life. You know what's a hard thing for life to do? Come in contact with death. Those are two counteracting things right there. They don't match, do they? You know what He done that day? Because you know what brought death on? What brought death on? Sin. You know what He was? Sinless. Spotless. Pure. Without any blemish. And on that day at Calvary, He reached out, Mike. He got a hold of the fire. He got a hold of that carriage that was taking me and you. He got a hold of that was taking us right down to hell. And He became what was taking us to hell. You want to know what we couldn't do? We couldn't get off of that fire. Hey, how many dead men you ever seen climb off of what was rolling them down an aisle? Never. They ain't a dead man can do a thing about it. You know what we can do within ourselves? All that can be done in ourselves is be rolled right down and put into that never-ending grave. That's the only thing we can do. But I'm going to tell you what, when the mother gets a hold and finds compassion in the Savior's eyes, He'll stop what He's doing. He'll reach out and touch the fire. Oh, what love. Oh, what love. You're going to take off your nice clothes this morning and go come crawling in the gutter uptown. Hey, you take some drunk's place? No, you probably won't. But you want to know what my God done? He left all of heaven and He came down to where I was and became what was killing me. No greater love than this than a man lay down his life for his friend. Life is itself touched the buyer. Life itself stopped the buyer right in his tracks. Stop what was carrying that man to grave. Another natural man would have done that, it wouldn't make a bit of difference. That road calling, when they rode your daddy down that aisle, over that girl's funeral home, me and you and that boat, we wanted to stop that place. When they rolled Miss Queens down the aisle, early, we loved to stop that thing. When they roll Miss Rice, they right down that aisle, we'd love to stop the fire, and we'd love to resurrect him. We'd love to brought him back. I'm gonna tell you something we can't do. We can't bring him back, but God Almighty can save him unto an everlasting hope. He stopped the fire and had something to do about it. He's the life giver. You don't know what changed this young man's life? It took him from a drug addiction to a testimony. Jesus Christ reached out and stopped the buyer. Do you know what saved my son-in-law? What stopped his lifestyle at around 18 years old? Hey, Jesus Christ reached down and stopped the buyer. David, what got a hold of you and stopped you in your sinful life? What got a hold of me and stopped me in mine? Jesus Christ had compassion on the church of the living God. Bobby reached out and he made contact.
Thank God.
With death, hell, and the grave. The very thing that his whole being was contradictory to. You don't want to know why a big boy wants to say Jesus loves me. I'm dangling when you're on your way to hell. He reached out and touched what was taking me there. And it stopped. I told him youngie this morning, I told him, there's a difference in who I'm preaching about and who the Buddhist is preaching about. There's a difference in who I'm preaching about. Sure, I'm who the Muslims is preaching about. There's a difference this morning in my God and the world's God. My God is alive and lives forevermore. He's not dead, he can't die. Hey, the devil couldn't kill him. Hey, I'm going to tell you what. This world cannot kill my God. He's alive.
Yes.
You want to know what changed the little girl that wanted to hate her daddy? My God. When he reached out and touched the buyer, that thing, it was transporting us to a never-ending hell. He that knew no sin became it. You keep bearing with me. Second Corinthians, 5th chapter. I may just back up here and read a little bit more thought. Let's start there in the 17th verse, 5th chapter, 2 Corinthians. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us
the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Listen, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What brought life to that man laying on that casket, in that casket, that man laying on that bier? What brought life to him? Jesus.
Oh, yes.
When he stopped where he was going, and he spoke to him, and he said, arise. What made a difference in your life, Natalie? When Jesus Christ stopped where you was going and took a moment to speak to you. He said, don't either arise. I hear people all the time calling me, they say, boy, I'd love to have been there that day when he said, Lazarus, come forth. I'm going to tell you what. I have been there.
Thank God.
I was there today, he said, Dennis, come forth. I was there today when everybody else has done give up and laid me in the grave. I was there on that day when I was wrapped up in my grave clothes. I was there on that day when they said, surely, by now, he speaketh. And one day, at 12 years old, in a bed, in a little old small trailer up in Robinson Cove, Jesus Christ come by my way. He got a hold of you behind the yellow refrigerator. He got a hold of me, hey, laying in that bed. He got a hold of you, sitting in a pew. But I'm going to tell you what he'll do for every man, boy, woman, and girl. He'll get a hold of your buyer somewhere. He'll speak to you. He'll tell you, arise. You said it a while ago, Mark. Never a man spoke like this man. And his sheep will know his voice. A stranger they won't hear. If you won't laugh when he speaks, you know what you'll do? You'll get up. That means all life came back. Yeah. You know what that mother saw? She saw life come in her son. You know what we get to see through the years? Maybe I've got to see life come into you, sitting right up there. At the same time, that little son was already praying right there, and life was coming into him. I see him laid in the bier. I see them on their way to the grave. As Mary Mom's and Papa's and Mama's and Daddy's, they had a vision of them young ones right there. They was getting rolled right to the grave, Kim. I seen that little boy up there this morning. But everybody was saying, it was on a Monday, it was on a Sunday. You know what he done? When he come to it was on a Sunday, he looked up at Mama and Daddy. And when Mama and Daddy said, that's my day, that little boy raised his hand. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. There come a day when it's going to get his day. Oh, there's going to come a day. But you want to know something? He better see Mom and Daddy. He needs to see the mother. Find the compassion in God's eyes. And one of these days, he'll hear me rise. One of these days, he'll hear Elijah arise. One of these days, that young is going to hear a call that comes from the one that's got a hold of the buyer. The one that stopped it for just a moment, just like Emma did, just like Aiden did. They're going to hear their name called. This world thinks this old church service, they think we're crazy.
They think them old slobbering, spitting preachers, and they're out of date.
That's what they
do. I'm going to tell you what. I don't get up there and flop and spit just to make a show.
No.
You look at a man that loves your church.
Oh, yes.
You're looking at a man that loves you.
Bless you, God.
Looking at a church that loves you. It ain't ashamed to go and do whatever God tells us to do on your behalf.
Bless you, God.
You think that little old mother is her child, her only child, and as a widow not having nobody else, you think that mother right there cared what anybody thought as she was following that child to the grave, gone tears? She cared not what they thought. All her thought was too was that child. I don't care what the world thinks of me.
No.
I don't want to see somebody saved. That's the goal in my life. I told you, God's been answering prayers in my life. The devil's been fighting like a Dickens. I got to shower with some people I ain't talked to hardly in 20 years. And I got to tell them, here's the calling on my life that's happened since I was ever talking to you before. God called me to preach. And he laid a burden in my life for the lost people. And they ain't nothing that means more to me in my life. John Keeter, F. E. Jackson, hey, they have ever want, they get me laid, brother. I'm gonna tell you, that don't matter to me. I wanna see salvation upon a lost soul. Maybe along the way, what we can see the Jackson's been all right. Maybe a little way, Daddy. We can see them objects yours. We can see them all yours. We can see them two precious grandchildren with yours. Oh, Messy and Noah. I want to see them get their buyer stopped one day. I want to see that little big head boy son just come out of there and work again. When he hears Jesus, say, arise. And then you don't know what he'll do. He'll turn around, he'll present her to the mother.
Yeah.
Well, turn around, and all he did, he saved that boy, and he turned right around and he gave him to the mother. You know what the Lord did when he saved Trevor? Turned right around and gave him to us. You know what the Lord will do with you when he saves you? He turns you right around and puts you right in the church for you.
That's right.
He'll start using you. Mm-hmm. He'll start working in your life.
Oh, yes.
If you are the light of the world, the city that's set upon a hill cannot be hid. That's the time, John, me and you talked. I don't keep going through them. I'm glad he's here this morning. I'm going to talk to that old job about things in our lives and church and places where we've had to make a stand. And a lot of times it wasn't the most popular. But I'm going to tell you what. It takes them times, brother, when the mother gets concerned about what's going on, that she gets the attention of Jesus. I don't believe that mother was just walking with the rest of the crowd in that procession to the grave. I really don't. I believe she was right up there with the casket. She was right up there with them buried. I believe she was weeping. I believe she was mourning. I believe she was making some noise. I've been to some funerals where there was a lot of weeping went on. There's a lot of wailing went on and people just mourning and grieving. Church. Stand and grieving for her children. You don't know why we've been getting to see so many saved around here, Dan? Mother's been getting such attention.
Amen.
You don't know why? Why are youth choirs growing and why are youngins are growing, Daniel? Because there's some people getting God's attention. There's some getting moved right in and laid right in our arms.
Bob called him a man. Called him a man. This wasn't no kid. He was a man. It would have hurt me to lost my son at that age, or where he's at right now, 24 years old. It hurt me to lost my daughter at that age, or where she's at right now, 20 years old, 21, 20. I'm going to tell you something. I know that lost her and I got her back. I cherish the remaining part of that time I had for more than I ever did before. Can't you just imagine? I bet you couldn't have pulled that mom off the side of that boy for nothing like that. Church, get a hold of these and cling to them. We've seen them getting led to the grave. We've seen them on the fire getting rolled right down. Let me love up to you, Emma. Let me love up to you, Aiden.
Yeah.
I'm going to get close to you. Love you, Olivia. Like I've never been before. What made this all possible? I don't really know where Luke this morning. When they went down there to the tomb, and that angel stepped out and he said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" And I got to thinking this morning about what God had me for to preach this morning. I didn't come down here to preach to you. You teach your kids how to be good. I didn't come down here to preach to you this morning. That you buy them everything in this world and you make them happy. Take them on every trip you can. Do what? No, I didn't come down here to preach you that this morning. I come down here to preach to Jesus this morning.
Yes.
That's all it will work, Isaac Woody. There's nothing else to offer our children of Jesus. Why is that, preacher? Where I was turning. Bear with me just a minute. Well, I may not find it. See if I wrote it down. Well, I did. I thought it had been John. John 14, I know it's familiar to you. I just ain't got a good memory. John 14:19. He said, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also."
Amen.
What brought life to that man laying on that bar? Jesus. What brought life to me and you? Jesus.
Oh, yes.
He's the only one that ever resurrected from a grave on his own power. And you know what? Because he lives, I live. Because he lives, there's hope. When I seen you holding that little fella up here this morning, Isaac, Matt, you may not even notice you standing behind that pulpit this morning opening up service and reading the Word of God. You know where my grandson's eyes was? Fixed on you. We've got something to preach. We've got something to teach. For my grandson, that life. To where these that ain't even realized yet that they was on their way to hell. You've got somewhere to look, John. You've got somewhere to look, Jennifer. They can see the church. They can see a mother that's having compassion on their behalf. Sometimes I want to call you precious instead of patience. I get a name instead. Her and Savannah's been friends ever since school. Patience, I don't want you to see Savannah's daddy. As
Son, I just met you a few weeks ago. I don't want you to see Savannah's daddy. I want you to see a mother that's got compassion on her. I'll bring him young into school and needs to see Jesus. That friend that's got compassion because they'll be laid down to a devil's grave. A hell that they'll never come out of. Mama brought him in this world, and she followed him to a grave. We can bring our children in this world, but you know where we're going to get them to? There's no back in the grave. There was one that came and touched the wire. They stopped it in its tracks. And he called out to the one that was on it. And he made a way. Because on that boy, no fire when he arose. He was the living among the dead. You know what the church of the living God is today in this world? We're the living among the dead. And you know where everybody sits that day? Has looked to? I don't care what religion you want to talk about. I don't even know half of what's going on. There's so many different cults and religions going around today. I don't even know all of them. But you want me to tell you what all them different cults and all them different religions knows? The name of Jesus. We may not know their name, but you know what? You sang a song this morning up here, youngins. He knows my name.
Yes, thank God.
To the deepest, darkest sinner, to the most wicked cult they is in this world, you know what? He knows their name. You know what? They know his. There's a lot of things been preached and taught down through the years, and they've faded off. They've withered out. Do you know what still preaches? You know what still got power?
Yes. Jesus.
The name of Jesus.
Yes.
The B-I-B-L-E. There's a lot of big groups with fine names. But I'm going to tell you something Furman Wilson used to say. He said, I don't have to smell diesel smoke to hear good sermon. How soon here you stand and say Jesus loves me like a little old youngin would? As I would to hear one of the biggest name groups that they is in this world. And them just to sing and to be heard. I want to hear somebody singing to glorify the name of God. See, that little mother, she wasn't worried about nobody else. She wasn't worried about herself. She was worried about that child. You know what the church of the living God will be? They're not worried about the lost. Not worried about our big names. Not worried about our altar plates. God takes care of this church. I've said this before. I've never had to preach on tithes at this church. And I don't think I'll ever have to. Because to be honest with you, that's the least of my concerns.
Oh, yes.
Do you want to know what I want to see? I want to see more and more stepping out and finding their way to an altar. Jose, I want to meet you in heaven one day.
Amen.
I want to meet David in heaven one day. I want to meet Eric in heaven one day. And all I can do to see that accomplished is find compassion in Jesus' eyes. I don't know if you think that's a Easter Sunday morning message or not, but you have to take it up with the Lord. I know what I am and I know whose I am. And I know who burdened my heart this morning by the Scripture. I love Him from the depths of my heart. My prayer is this morning that I sit amongst everybody that could raise your hand and say, I've got a day that the Lord saved me. You know what I'm saying, son? I don't you're on your wire and you're on your way to hell. And this morning, Jesus stopped your wire and he gave you a chance
to arise.
It's up to you whether you come up.
You can ride that right on to hell. You can step off and live. That's what the Lord laid on her heart. I don't know nobody's heart this morning.